This is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. John McCain and Barack Obama are dashing across the country to make their final pleas in critical battleground states. Joining us now to talk about the last day of this historic election, we've got Mary Frances Berry, professor of history at the University of Pennsylvania and the former chair of the U.S. Civil Rights Commission, and Robert Trainum, D.C. bureau chief for the Comcast cable network CN8. Hi, guys.
Hi, Farai.
So it's an exciting time, and let's just jump right on into it. Senator John McCain's campaign manager, Rick Davis, has declared that the senator is having one of the greatest comebacks since the candidate won the primary. Let's listen to what Senator McCain said this weekend.
There's one day left. There's one day left until we take America in a new direction, my friends. And we need your help. We need your help. And we will win. Volunteer, knock on doors, get your neighbors to the polls. I need your vote. We need to bring real change to Washington, and we have to fight for it.
Robert, do you think the race is tightening, first of all? And if so, why?
Yes, the race is tightening. If you take a look at all of the 408 national polls out there, every single poll shows that Senator Obama Senator McCain is closing the gap. The reason why is twofold, Farai. Number one, the race always tightens towards the end of the election. But secondly, look, John McCain has always performed his best when his back is against the wall. Recall, we were on this program about a year ago, and everyone was writing his political obituary when it came to him being the last in the polls in the primary, him being the last from a fundraising standpoint. Now, granted, I would be readily foolish if I did not admit that he has an uphill battle to climb. However, he has closed in the polls.
All right. The McCain campaign has tied Barack Obama to the idea of socialism. And here is Senator McCain from a rally today.
You know, Senator Obama's running to be redistributionist in chief. I'm running to be commander in chief.
Now, last week, Senator McCain went on CNN and host Larry King asked, you don't believe Barack Obama is a socialist, do you? And Senator McCain answered, quote, no, I do believe he's been in the far left of American politics. He has stated time after time that he believes in, quote, spreading the wealth around. Mary, what is the crux of this argument? Is it the concept of socialism or is it the question of what happens to your tax dollars?
Well, first of all, let me just remind everyone who listens that I didn't write off McCain. I was the last one who said when he was dropping dead in the primaries and everybody wrote him off that I would bet my house that he'd have a comeback, and he did. I'm not going to bet he's having one this time. In any case, what it really is about is a statement that Obama made to Joe the Plumber.
Mary?
Yes.
I'm just going to interrupt you for a second because we're having a little bit of a technical problem, fuzziness on your line. So we're going to come back to you. We're going to take a look at that. In the meantime, Robert, while we wait for Mary to come back on the line, what do you think of this whole question of socialism, the word socialism? Why is it such a third rail?
Well, it is a third rail for a number of reasons. We as Americans have always fought against socialism, at least from an intellectual standpoint. We saw that in Eastern Europe. We saw that, obviously, in the former Soviet Union. We as Americans do not believe in socialism. We believe that every single person should be able to write their own path, if you will. And so when you have someone, presumably Senator Obama in Senator McCain's words, using the word socialist, it means I know better than you. You don't know exactly what you're doing, and so the government, or thus in the process, the government leaders have to decide your fate as opposed to you as an individual. And, you know, intuitively, we're against that. That's not who we are as Americans.
At the same time, though, when Senator McCain, and I watched this on television, seemed to be somewhat reluctantly say, no, he's not a socialist, the rhetoric of socialism had suffused the current degree of the campaign. Is there a way in which the senator is trying to benefit from the negative connotations of the term without taking full responsibility for it being in the campaign?
Absolutely. Look, he's trying to write those dots, and hopefully he wants you to connect those dots. Look, he's saying one thing, and he is insinuating another. He's saying that Senator Obama is not a socialist. However, on the campaign trail, he's actually saying he is a socialist in terms of some of his ideas. When it comes to the whole redistribution of the wealth, when it comes to the whole Joe the Plumber analogy, Americans like examples, and a lot of Americans out there can identify and can relate to Joe the Plumber. And if you take a listen to John McCain, Farai, over the last couple of days or couple of weeks, John McCain actually found his voice with Joe the Plumber, just in terms of trying to put a real-life example in people's minds so they can understand, oh, you know, if this person makes $100,000 a year or $150,000 a year under Senator Obama's plan, I'm considered rich. And so thus in the process, Senator Obama, underneath his plan, wants me to take some of that hard-earned money that I've earned and redistribute it to other people.
All right. Well, let me do one last thing. And the question, you know, before we go back to Mary's back. I was about to go to another question before.
Let me just catch up quickly with what Robert said. Yes, I don't think most people really know what socialism is in any detail. It's one of those words like when you call people liberals or something. They assume that it's un-American, whatever it is, socialism, not understanding where it exists and whatever. And Obama has never said he was a socialist. He has talked about a progressive taxation and the need for people to pay taxes who can afford to, so that we can have the kind of public services that we need. But it's a good campaign gambit for McCain to try in the last days, since he has to try everything he can, including the kitchen sink.
I want to go to dig into a little bit more of the state races. And so both candidates are campaigning hard in Ohio. It's been one of the most important states in the campaign. It was extremely important last time around. Some polls say the state is too close to call. Let's listen to Barack Obama campaigning in Ohio.
In 2 days, Ohio, at this defining moment in history, you can give this country the change we need. And it starts right here in Ohio, right here in Cincinnati. This is where we need to make it happen.
Mary, just quickly, what's the historical significance of Ohio?
And Ohio is where the Republicans always need Ohio to win elections, and they usually win Ohio and win elections. And Kerry last time thought he had won Ohio because the exit polls told him he had won, and then he found out that according to the vote count, he hadn't. And there were long lines of people standing in line and all kinds of problems. Ohio was the almost Florida last time, Florida 2000. So that it's crucial for McCain to take Ohio. Typically, Democrats do well in Cleveland and in Cincinnati, and this time Columbus is going to be very important because that's where the university is, and Democrats do well in university centers and not so well out in the rural areas. But Ohio has all of these major economic problems, even worse than some other places in the country. Now the Democrats control the election machinery there because the governor's a Democrat, unlike last time, and the Secretary of State is a Democrat, so that Obama has a good shot to take Ohio. And if he takes Ohio, I think that that'll be the end of McCain.
All right. I want to make sure that everyone knows the folks with whom we are speaking. We were just hearing from Mary Frances Berry, professor of history at the University of Pennsylvania. She is also the former chair of the U.S. Civil Rights Commission. We also have with us Robert Trainum, D.C. Bureau Chief for the Comcast Cable Network, CN8, and this is NPR's News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea, and we are doing some pre-election politicking. Robert, what other states do you see having this same focus? I mean, is there anything besides the economy, perhaps, is a way to put it? Are any of the swing states, places that are on the fence, is the economy driving, you know, not driving any of them?
No. The economy is the number one issue in every single state, but even most importantly in the battleground states. A strong second is Iraq. A strong third is healthcare slash education. But look, everyone is affected by the economy for obvious reasons. And so everyone feels a little bit uncertain, not even a little bit, but a lot uncertain about the direction of our economic future. And so what they're looking at is they're looking at both presidential candidates and their economic policies and saying, as it relates to me, who is going to be the best person that's going to keep food on my table, keep gas prices low, and then thus in the process, helps me keep my job.
And McCain was floundering on the economy because he had said it wasn't his strong suit. And then when this crisis occurred, then in fact he really looked, he was floundering. He didn't know what to do. And Obama just really made hay out of this issue. Recently, in recent days, McCain seems to have gotten some of his footing back, especially since the Joe the Plumber business. So we'll have to see whether there's enough time between then and the actual election, to give him enough support there. But the economy has displaced Iraq. It has displaced terrorism. Nobody even talks about terrorism as an issue. There's no discussion of Afghanistan and the like, and that has certainly been a boon to Obama.
Although, for I know we're running out of time, very quickly, if you notice over the last couple of days, the McCain campaign has tried to shift the focus from the economy back to keeping us, quote-unquote, safe in the war on terror. And if you take a look at the overall polls with undecideds, there's about 7% of undecideds out there. Historically, undecideds typically vote Republican, historically. And the reason why they vote Republican is because, quote-unquote, the war on terror or national defense. We'll see if, in fact, they put John McCain over the top or perhaps Barack Obama.
This campaign can't end without a few more surprises. But the latest one we've gotten is came out on Friday that Senator Obama's aunt from Kenya is in the country illegally, having overstayed a request for asylum that she was denied. It seems to have faded a bit even since Friday. Is this going to be an issue, you think,
Farah, the McCain camp said it was not an issue. That was smart. They were smart to say that they weren't going to make an issue of it. I think for Obama, he said that his campaign said he knew nothing about the various things with this woman. The problem is, to be fair about it, it won't affect the outcome, is that he talked about this aunt before in his writings. And it's not as if he didn't know her. At least he said he knew her. And so it seems a little curious that he knew nothing about what had happened to her after talking about her being his favorite aunt. If it's your favorite aunt, you somehow know what's happening to them. But it came too late, and the McCain campaign is not making anything out of it, so I don't think it'll affect the outcome.
There was a kind of poignant footnote to this, which was that she's made donations, which are illegal,
yes,
as small as $5. It kind of says a lot about probably what her life is like, but also at the same time the complete flouting of the law in this case. Robert, what's your read on whether or not this is an issue?
Well, I agree with Mary. It's a lukewarm issue, and the reason why is because, again, the audience right now is undecided. And the last thing that you want to do going into, 24 hours left into this campaign is to give any of those undecideds the EBGBs or anything to give them pause. And for some undecideds, it's actually very well may be an issue for them. One, this is your aunt on your father's side, and presumably knowing that she's from Africa, you had no idea that she was in this country. Two, she's living in a public housing facility in Boston, Massachusetts, and you would never think that maybe, quote-unquote, to check in on her. Senator Obama is a very intelligent individual. And so to suggest, as his campaign has said, that they knew nothing about this, again, to use Mary's words, is quite curious. Lastly, again, the McCain campaign is very, very smart not to make hay out of this, but it also gives you a little bit of an insight as to the McCain campaign and who John McCain is as a person. This is the second time when a personal issue has come up, the first one being Jeremiah Wright, the second one now being Senator Obama's aunt, that Senator McCain has said, no, I'm not going to use that in this campaign.
Except the Pennsylvania Republicans are using the Jeremiah Wright thing, even though McCain said it should not be used. In the closing hours of the campaign, they've been using it.
But it's not directly Senator McCain's campaign, right, that's doing that.
No, it's a Pennsylvania state ad. Nonetheless, there may not be as much of a distinction in people's minds who are voters. They may not look at the end of the ad and say whether or not, you know, there's a Senator McCain's face or Senator Obama's face saying, you know, I endorse this. All right, guys, we have made plans to catch up with you after the big day on Wednesday. But going into the big day, what do you think that we need to look for? One thing, whether it is long lines, potential voter disenfranchisement, resurgence of McCain. If you had to point out one thing, Robert, that you think is going to be the big story on Election Day, what are we talking about?
I think the big story is going to be how close this election actually will come down to. I do not think this is going to be a blowout. There are a lot of folks out there that are suggesting that it actually will be. Again, John McCain has always been a closer, and given the fact that there's a lot of undecideds out there that have yet to make up their minds, and we have no idea with how the race, meaning lowercase r, meaning ethnicity, is going to play in this race, I think we're going to wake up Wednesday morning and say, wow, what a roller coaster ride.
Well, I think that we should be looking to see what the turnout is, not so much in the urban areas where we expect large turnouts or areas where there are large numbers of African Americans, but see what the turnout is in western Pennsylvania, in the rural areas in Ohio, the turnout in Missouri, in the areas outside Kansas City and St. Louis. If there are huge numbers of people turning out, showing their support, that means that McCain will get a bounce. If they just seem like a normal group of numbers of people coming out, then you know that his voters aren't as energized as they might be to try to help him pull it out. But if I were to predict, I'd say Obama probably will have a landslide.
Robert, do you agree with that?
I do not. Well, I agree with Mary's first point in terms of turnout in the rural areas. These folks, if they do come out, they're not coming out for John McCain. They're coming out for Sarah Palin. And the reason why they're coming out for Sarah Palin is because she has really energized this base. And thus, in the process, a lot of conservatives, ideologues, believe that she's the future of the party.
Mary, when you take a look at the Republican Party, there have been some questions over divisions within the party ideologically. But the Democratic Party, there are a lot of people coming together around Senator Obama who may not actually have that much in common. So what's left of the Democratic base of support?
Well, the Democrats, solid, whatever their views are in terms of trying to get this, you know, get some more seats in the House and Senate and get Obama elected, the fracturing in the Democratic Party is going to come right after the election. And then you will have people who are conservative, blue dog Democrats in the Congress. You will have people who supported Obama to win but who think that he is not progressive enough, and others who think that he is too conservative. But all of these different factions will fracture. But for now, everybody has just sort of decided to come together until they can get the election behind them.
Fry?
Yes.
Very quickly, I agree 150% with
wow,
Mary.
Wow, 150?
And let me go one step further.
It does have to be quick.
No matter who the president is come January, 6 months from now, their base will be upset with them. I guarantee it.
Always happens.
Yeah, it's very true. All right, Robert and Mary, thanks so much.
All right.
Thank you. Make sure you vote.
Yep.
Thank you, Farai.
And we're going to be catching up with Robert and Mary the day after the election, speaking with Robert Trainum, D.C. Bureau Chief for the Comcast Cable Network, CN8, and also Mary Frances Berry, Professor of History at the University of Pennsylvania. She's also the former chair of the U.S. Civil Rights Commission. And if you tune in to us virtually tomorrow at nprnewsandviews.org, our blog, you will see video blogs from us throughout the election evening.